Welcome to Work From the Inside Out, a podcast that highlights real-life stories, practical strategies, and best practices for transitioning your career from unhappiness and dissatisfaction to fulfillment, meaning, and joy. Now here is your host, career and executive coach, Tammy Guler-Loeb.
Hey, everybody. I am so excited to introduce you to today's guest, Rachel Rice. Rachel is the founder and CEO of Five Rhythms Consulting. She has spent the majority of her career in corporate leadership roles, including recently as the chief marketing officer for New York Life Retirement Plan Services, where she oversaw marketing, product development, web strategy, and creative execution. She is recognized as a dynamic, engaging, and effective speaker. Rachel is also a certified Eden Energy Medicine practitioner, authorized energy medicine teacher, a Reiki master, and a meditations leader. What makes her unique is the way she integrates energy medicine and energy psychology techniques into her work and leadership style with the goal of driving the best possible outcomes for the organizations and individuals she serves. Please join me in welcoming Rachel Rice. Welcome, Rachel. Welcome to the podcast, and thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Delighted to be here. Thanks, Tammy.
So, you know, you have a very interesting story. I've been intrigued since the day I met you about your background in marketing, your background as an executive in a large corporate environment, and how you started to study the Eden energy work. I'm probably not saying that quite right, but how you started to do that work even while you were still working at a very, very full-time corporate role. And I have to say that the world of New York Life and retirement plans and the world of Eden energy, I'm not sure that I would always put the two of those together. So I'm curious to hear about your journey of the work that you were doing and how you've incorporated the energy work and what made you decide to take the leap and transition out of your corporate life and into a life more immersed in all the healing and work that you're doing now.
When I was in corporate, I really wanted to be the best possible version of myself all of the time. I put a lot of, I think, pressure on myself to excel, to perform, to be the best at what I was doing, to serve the organization I was serving. I really wanted to excel in the corporate environment. And so I was looking for any tool that I could put my hands on that would help me do that. Mm. And so even starting in my 20s, I learned how to meditate. I started studying yoga. I was physically fit. I tried to eat really healthy food. So I was doing all these different things to try to take the best care of my mind and my body that I could. And what I discovered through my career is that at some point, at some level of responsibility, I felt like those things just weren't enough given the environment that I was in and the level of responsibility that I had. I wasn't sleeping as well as I wanted to be. I felt stressed more of the time. And somewhere in there, somebody gave me this book about energy medicine. I was very skeptical of it. I periodically glanced at it and I thought, oh, I'm not so sure about this energy stuff. But periodically, I would open it up, I would read something, and I would try what they were recommending. And I was surprised when I could actually feel the energy move in my body. So I've always been a quote unquote sensitive person. I've always been sensitive to my own feelings, to other people's feelings, to my environment, to foods, to smells. It's always been considered more of a liability than something that was helping me per se, except for that I was in tune with others. But with this book, I would open it, I would try something out that was meant to help me be more available or more present or more organized in my thinking, able to present. And I would try it and I could feel the energy moving in my body and then I would feel better. And that piqued my curiosity. So a few months later, I might open up the book and look at something and try something else. And this went on for several years. And so finally, what I was figuring out is that when I was getting ready to go into an important meeting or to do a presentation, I was actually tapping into this new toolkit that I had. And mm-hmm. I was pulling out these tools and doing those tools right before a presentation or right before a meeting, and finding that it put me in the best possible state of mind and body to deliver my message. So I started relying on them. And then I was wondering, okay, is it just me? Am I just sensitive to these tools? Is there something different about me that's able to leverage them? So I started sharing them with different people in my work environment. So I opened up to the organization. I invited them to a lunch and learn. And I said, I want to share these tools that I'm using. They're a little bit different. They're a little bit different than what we might ordinarily expect in a corporate environment, but I'm using them myself. And as a leader in the organization, I was the chief marketing officer for this organization. I wanted to share what I was using with other people. And then I surveyed them. I did a pre-survey and a post-survey. And in the middle, taught them the skills. So I asked them on this 5-point scale of, you know, how are you feeling today? Are you feeling not so great or your absolute best? On 9 aspects of energy vitality, for example, your energy level, how well you're communicating with people, your creativity. And so I asked them your communication, how do you feel on this 5-point scale? And then I taught them this 5-minute daily energy routine. I met with them every day for 5 minutes. Whoever wanted to come came. We did this 5-minute energy routine. And at the end of 30 days, I surveyed them again. And for this group that did the pre and post survey, I saw a 20% lift in their overall vitality scores. So for some aspects like focus or energy level, we saw a higher lift in their score. And in some, it was a little bit less. But it was enough for me to see that this little 5-minute energy routine was really having a positive impact for people. And people shared with me that they no longer got their 3 o'clock slump. They felt more vibrant. They felt more creative. They just felt more engaged. Their relationships were better. And I saw that as a really positive thing. So as I was learning about this, I just became so intrigued by it. And I've always had somewhat of an interest in alternative care, alternative methods, but there was something different about this energy medicine stuff. So I decided to enroll in the program. There was something about it that I said to myself, I need to learn about this stuff before I can't anymore, before for some reason there's no more opportunity. So I enrolled in a certification program, a 2-year certification program while I was in corporate. And then I had another, I would call it moment of truth. And that was when we were selling our organization to an acquiring organization. And as part of the senior leadership team, all 9 of us needed to present to the acquiring organization, the senior leadership of that group. And we spent months on that presentation, building it, writing it, crafting it. What's the message? We had several dry runs before the final day. And in one of those dry runs, one of my colleagues froze. He lost access to his words and even to his body. His face went pale. He stopped moving his hands. He lost access to his words. He took twice as long as he really had to deliver his message. And it was rife with ums and ahs and sos. And it was painful for the rest of us to sit through that, watching him struggle. And they actually moved him from first to last in the queue. And that afternoon, I thought to myself, if this is how it's going to go on the final day, we're not going to sell the organization to this acquirer, which means that we're going to need to go through a whole nother process. Very painful process. And I offered him that afternoon. I said, look, I'll listen. I'll help you with the presentation, whatever you need from me this afternoon. And if you're interested, I'm happy to share this, what I do to prepare if you want. But it's a little bit different. These skills that I'm using, these techniques I'm using are not your typical skills, but I'm happy to share them if you're open to it. And he was.
So this is somebody who had not attended some of your informal session.
He had not attended. He would not have come.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
He was a very conservative person. And I don't think he would have been open-minded to it. Mm-hmm. But there was some urgency around this presentation that he was giving.
Right.
And he clearly needed some support. And so he was willing to try almost anything. So I sat with him and basically every technique that I showed him, he felt in his body. And immediately he got the blood back in his face. He got color back in his face. He got light back in his eyes. He got access to his words again. He felt calm and organized in his body. We tapped out his ums and his ahs and his sos and his rights. We skinnied his content down by half. We focused on storytelling. And by the next day, he was able to articulate. And on the final day, he knocked it out of the park. And that to me says, okay, this is not just me. Mm-hmm. These techniques can actually be effective with a whole variety of different types of individuals. And this is really important stuff that people in corporate actually really could use these skills. There are so many people who freeze up when they're going to do a presentation or when they have an important message to convey or when they're working with an employee who's challenged. In all these different work environments, people need to communicate difficult messages, essential messages in difficult environments, and sometimes that's hard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we need access to our best selves. And I thought, okay, here's an opportunity for me to help people in a very different way. And so that was really the pivot point for me.
Yeah. So I want to drill down a little bit in terms of your inner motivations or the internal processes within you that propelled you in this direction, because I would imagine that it took some courage to bring this work to your work culture that you were in. What was the work culture like before, you know, when people were having those 3 o'clock slumps or you were, what was it like then?
Well, financial services in general is a very conservative culture.
What does that mean, conservative?
Where most organizations might be business casual or even casual, a financial services culture is typically suit.
Mm-hmm.
And
in every stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much there are just rules and regulations. So the financial services industry is regulated. Mm-hmm. You can only do certain things within the scope of advertising or communication with clients. Everything mm-hmm. is basically regulated.
Yeah.
And so there are guardrails around basically almost all types of activities within a financial services organization.
Mm-hmm.
And things are dotted and T's are crossed. It's just because you're dealing with money and people's money, you need to be very careful and conscientious about how you're doing. And that permeates culture.
And how does that permeate the culture? What would you say the difference was? I know you mentioned before that people seem to have more energy, that they did some work with you, and there were clearly a group of people who were open to this work. And, you know, that they had better energy, they were brighter, they were more energized, and yet still in a somewhat, you know, regimented or, you know, strict environment.
So I don't know that the work that I did with that specific group necessarily changed culture. I think that it enhanced the relationships that these people were having with each mm-hmm. other and within the organization, enabled them mm-hmm. to be a little bit more open, more confident, more mm-hmm. creative, more connected.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, my willingness to mm-hmm. bring fully who I was into the workplace
mm-hmm.
was challenging on some levels for me because I had a corporate identity.
Mm.
I had my corporate persona. And mm-hmm. I felt like accessing this other stuff might somehow impact people's perception of me. And it did.
Yeah.
It did. Like, what is this stuff that Rachel's bringing in?
Yeah.
Who is she becoming?
This isn't your typical, I think we'll do some leadership development training, right?
I think it can be leadership development training for certain because it helps you become much more aware and conscious of your internal landscape.
Yes. But
when I went out and talked to people as I started to shift and create my company, I did get comments like, that's that new age thing, right?
Yeah.
And so there was a fair amount of either dismissiveness or condescension mm-hmm. or commentary, mm-hmm. definitely some judgment about what is this. And I did a lot of internal work myself around ego.
Mm.
Who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I? And what am I meant to be doing in this world? And am I really fully doing that in this role?
And clearly you came up with the answer of, yes, I am meant to be doing this because we know that this is what you are doing now. I think what would be helpful for our listeners is to understand maybe, how did you make that transition? I don't mean just purely from I'm employed full time in this executive role to now I'm self-employed, but I'm thinking about, you know, when you talk about your internal landscape, you know, how did you start to shift that to see that there was something else out there you were meant to do? And what were some of the more practical considerations that you either took care of or had to handle in the process? Because it's not every day that somebody can say, well, I'm just going to leave my, you know, chief marketing officer role and just hang up a shingle. And I know it wasn't quite that straightforward and simple, but I think it's helpful for people to understand what the possibilities are and how do you handle that on a practical level and an internal level.
Yeah, I think there needs to be both. So on an internal level, I was struggling with and working through ego issues, ego and identity. So what does it mean to be me? What does it mean to be successful? How do I quantify my life? I had identified in my 20s that I really wanted more balance. I was always a hard worker, always put in 60, 70, 80 hours at a time. Mm. What I was discovering is that I wanted a higher return on my own investment. Mm-hmm. Not just a higher return for an organization or an increase in compensation or a raise. I felt like there must be, like, I should be able to rely more on myself for my own return, that if I invested that much in my own venture, that I would reap the benefits of that as well. So that there were some ego and identity issues there.
Mm. So how did you figure that out? How did you sort of bring that to realization, you know, because some of the things you're talking about, they sound, you know, they make a lot of sense to me in concept, but how did you actually, you know, it sounds like you knew you had a level of self-awareness even in your 20s and you saw yourself working very hard and you were okay with that. That was part of your identity and your ego, right? To work very hard. At the same time, you started, something was shifting within you. There were other opinions chiming in internally saying, yeah, this is great, but what is it that I'm really wanting out of this? And
there were a couple of things. One is that I had an opportunity to go for the presidency. I was the chief marketing officer and I had the opportunity to be considered to run the organization. Mm-hmm. And when I went home and talked to my husband about it, he's like, is that really what you want? Do you want that additional level of responsibility? Do you want that additional level of stress? And I'm thinking about that. I said, no, that's not what I want right now in this field, in this space with this company. So I got clarity around that. That was conversation with him about me. What did I want? And then there was interest. I was more interested in the topic of energy and training around energy and what that meant and the evolution of that for us and our consciousness as human beings than I was about learning about fiduciary regulations.
I can't imagine why.
But that wasn't always the case.
Right. Okay.
In my 20s, I studied derivative securities and I found that fascinating. By the time I was looking at this, it was, do I want to spend more time learning about these energy systems and the impact on us, or do I want to go to a fiduciary conference? And that started to become a little bit clearer. Mm. And then I worked with a coach.
I see.
I identified a coach, a life coach, who asked me some very difficult, I found at the time, questions like, who are you?
Yeah, that's a good one.
And even the articulation of that for me, the attempt to articulate that for me was illuminating. And then through the process with her, started to identify what my ideal work would be. What was I here on earth to do? Mm-hmm. And then the idea of, okay, do I do that all at once? Can I do that in micro steps? And what I identified for me is that I needed to do that in micro steps, that I couldn't make that big shift, that I just needed to move slowly one small step at a time toward that shift. And the practical aspect of that is, as a major earner in my family, which is what you're saying, how does one make a shift from a corporate role to starting your own business?
Right. Because that's sort of the very practical, pragmatic side of this is it's great to have something that you are, you know, realizing you have this real passion for and belief in, and it's intertwined into your soul almost. Right. Okay. And yet, And yet, yeah, you're right. Like you have significant responsibilities. It's in terms of helping to take care of your family.
Yeah. And so what I needed to do was make sure that I had enough savings in the bank, mm-hmm. that I had done a business plan. I looked at the run rate. How long would it take me to build a clientele? Mm-hmm. How long would it take me to get to a stable business? When would I actually have revenue coming in the door? When could I cover my expenses? When would I have additional revenue? So I looked at the business plan and then I cut my assumptions in half and said, okay, let's do a worst case scenario on this.
Okay.
How long can I survive on my savings?
Right.
And then have that conversation with my husband. If this takes as long as I think it will, or what if it takes twice as long, mm-hmm. are we okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Is it okay for me at this point in my life, now that I've done these other things and we've done X, Y, and Z, can we both buy into this notion of this business plan, mm-hmm. and maybe worst case scenario of this business plan? Are we okay with that?
So it sounds like you took a very business-like and logical approach to weighing out a lot of different pros and cons, and obviously some very specific financial kinds of calculations. What was going on with you at that time emotionally, or were you, I'm thinking, gee, that sounds really good and logical, but what about, like, how were you feeling at that time? And how did that help you and spur you on? Or did you get in your own way at times? I say that because I think that when people go to make a significant change in their lives, you know, there's a variety of things going on. And it's sometimes, and as you said yourself, that you have this part of you that's very tuned in and sensitive. So I can imagine that you had, you know, intellect and your heart, you know, kind of having a ping pong match with each other. I don't know if that's true, but I'm curious to hear what was going on for you and what, you know, what might other people listening to this be thinking about whether they could themselves make this kind of a shift. So I know I said a lot of things all in one.
But you're spot on, Tammy. So you're spot on. And yes, I went through this. It's like, I would call it the ping pong match as well. There's this back forth between fear and faith, trust, and love.
Mm.
So I went back and forth. And whenever I fell back into fear, a place of fear,
things
slowed down. It didn't matter how much effort I put in. I got in my own way.
Yeah.
And whenever I fell more toward faith, trust, and an open heart
mm-hmm.
for possibility.
Yeah.
And started to open up. So it was like putting your foot on the gas and the brake pedal.
Yeah.
Back and forth and back and forth. And so somebody actually pointed it out to me and I was like, oh, I need to do something about that. Because absolutely that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And then I use the skills that I teach my clients.
Right.
I leverage tapping. I leverage energy medicine. I tapped out fear and tapped in trust, faith, and love. And using tap, holding my own neurovascular points on my head while thinking about these fears, mm-hmm. I cleared them so that I could actually put my effort into creating and building and empowering people and less on the fear about what might or might not happen.
I see. So you did a lot of work with yourself using the tools and skills that you had.
I did.
And it sounds like there was also a beautiful combination with, you know, how you and your husband were having conversations around this. And that part of that, you know, love and faith came from him.
Absolutely.
You know, that, you know, most people don't do these things in a vacuum. There's usually, you know, it's, I would say it's almost, if not impossible, to make a shift that you did without somebody really cheering you on.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there are people who do that, but I wanted to also ask you to clarify or tell us a little more, what is tapping? Because that's a little different from energy medicine, although they may be tied in together, but tell us more about what is tapping, and someone's never heard of tapping. What does that mean? We're not making beer, right?
Oh, kind of. No. What tapping is a process of tapping on the body on specific points that mm-hmm. are meridian points of the body. It's light highways that the acupuncturists use that have been around for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And when you tap on those points while thinking about fears, emotions, events in your life, beliefs, you can actually clear out what's no longer serving you and bring in beliefs and ideas and emotions that will serve you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That sounds kind of simple. Is it simple?
I do actually believe it's simple.
Wow. Interesting. So if somebody wanted to learn more about tapping or about energy medicine, what would be, I mean, other than your website, of course, which we will post, what other ways can people learn about these things?
So I would send them to the places where I learned myself. Okay. Donna Eden has written a number of phenomenal books. Mm-hmm. Her organization is called Inner Source.
Okay.
So Donna Eden and her husband, her partner, David Feinstein, have written numerous books on energy medicine, and he's written numerous books on energy psychology.
Oh, so interesting.
Those are two great authors. Their books are very easy to read and digest. Mm-hmm. And then also there's a book by Nick Ortner called The Tapping Solution.
Oh, okay.
And he also has done a lot of videos on YouTube. The three of them, they have, you know, YouTube videos, and they've produced a lot of material and educational material, as well as certification or training classes, other symposiums that you can go to, and you can learn these things.
That's great. Thank you, Rachel. So
I'd also want to add one other, which is that there's the Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology. And on their website is a lot of research that's been done on energy psychology, also known as tapping. There are a lot of resources. There's training available through the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology. And I would highly recommend that as a resource.
Great. Thank you so much. So we've talked about where you were and the transition that you made. Tell us, where are you today? How long has it been since you've, as I say, hung up your shingle and, you know, opened up your shop, so to speak, and tell me what's developed or what's happened since then and what you're looking forward to.
I'm 2 years into the process. So yay. I actually launched in Thanksgiving of 2015. About a year and a half in, I felt like I really hit my stride, that my clientele felt much more stable. I was seeing clients on a regular basis. I was getting very strong referrals from my clients and referral partners. And had done a lot of talks in a lot of different venues. So people were starting to hear my name in multiple places. Mm-hmm. And so I really felt like that was a turning point. Spring was a turning point. We renovated some space in our home. That's my office. And so I really felt like last September was also a turning point in the business, halfway through start and now, when I was able to feel really great about the space, the professional space that people were coming into to see me. And so now I'm at the place where we're taking the business to the next level. I have some people that I partner with to bring training to organizations. And I'm really excited about what we're doing next.
So what kinds of training are you taking to organizations, and what kind of organizations are you, I know you've already done some of this already. What kinds of organizations are you reaching?
I'm looking to mid to large size organizations who are interested in taking the performance of their organization to a whole nother level, where they really want to let go of the baggage and achieve what they're setting out to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And the training that we're bringing is focused on helping people have difficult conversations.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because those are the conversations that open things up, where people mm-hmm. are either holding something back or needing to say something that needs to be said. And I've partnered with Amy Rebecca Gay, who is a PhD in communication, negotiation, mediation, and has trained Fortune 250 companies in difficult conversations material. And what she discovered is what was missing was how to really teach people how to help people clear the emotions and identity issues that get in the way of saying what really needs to be said. And mm-hmm. also hearing, being in a listening mode, mm-hmm. being able to hear even when you have a lot of turmoil going on inside. And what she discovered in working with me is that the energy medicine and energy psychology tools are a great way to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
And so together, the training that we're bringing is training around how to have those difficult conversations, how to say what you need to say, how to be able to really hear what people are saying to you, how to clear those emotions and identity so that you can be fully present and communicate effectively.
Bravo. I love the sound of that. And I, as a career coach and someone who talks to people who are working in organizations all the time, boy, is there a need for that. There's a big need for that. A lot of organizations, I think, are so busy focusing on their goals and their strategies, they're not necessarily bringing out the best in their people. And it sounds like with this work that you're doing, that you're really going to help both individuals and teams be at their best and be at their clearest, it sounds like, to really bring a much clearer vision and intention towards the work they're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. So in thinking about the transitions that you've made, I'm making a hunch here that you have no regrets about leaving your corporate job and not becoming president of the company and becoming president of your own company. And I'm wondering, what words of wisdom, pieces of advice, what would you tell somebody else who's at a point where they've recognized, you know, I think there may be something more than what I'm doing now or something different from what I'm doing now that I really need to be exploring or thinking about? And what are the key tools that you think people need to be able to make a transition into something that hopefully could become more fulfilling and satisfying for them?
So I believe that we each have a unique gift and that we each have a gift to bring to the world. And when we're not doing that, we're keeping that from others and from ourselves. And so I guess what I would say is identify those gifts, invest in yourself, trust yourself, and continue to lean toward that direction, even if it's baby steps. Mm-hmm. To make those investments, work hard and work smart, but work toward that direction of your natural inherent gifts and trust that those are yours. They're special and unique and that they're a gift to the world.
Wonderful. Well, Rachel, thank you so much. I think our listeners are going to get great benefit and hopefully they'll either be knocking on your door or checking out some of the resources that you mentioned. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your time and for all the wisdom you shared with us today. Thank you.
Thank you. That was great.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Rachel Rice. It was such a pleasure to speak with her and learn about her professional journey and the impact she has been able to make along the way. What is your key takeaway from our conversation? Something you'll put into action this week that you'll benefit from for years to come? Share what resonated with you in the show notes at workfromtheinsideout.com. Look for episode 001. That's also where you'll find all the links and resources from today's podcast. If you enjoyed this episode with Rachel, please share it with your friends and colleagues. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss next week's show. Remember, subscribing is always free. Are you enjoying the podcast? That's great. I'd love to read your review on Apple Podcasts. It's easy to find our page at itunes.workfromtheinsideout.com. Thanks for listening. And remember, it's never too late or too impossible to increase your sense of fulfillment and satisfaction in your work or other meaningful activities. Let me know how it's going for you. And who knows? Maybe you'll be my next interview on this podcast. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Work From the Inside Out podcast. For more information, you can find us at www.workfromtheinsideout.com.